Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John was the gospel that was written the latest, so about 100 years after Jesus' life and ministry. So while Matthew, Mark, and Luke kind of read like, here's a storyline of what Jesus did, John reads more like, this is something that Jesus did, and this is what it means. So when we read passages from John, we should remember that the biggest point of John is to help us see what God did in Jesus and how we are to understand who Jesus was and why Jesus did what he did. So listen for this passage in John, in chapter 1, beginning with verse 29. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." So the next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And so he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This story in John reminds me a little bit of those paintings that you see that are kind of two pictures in one. So there's like the picture of the woman that, depending on how you look at the picture, it's either an old woman or a young woman. And sometimes if you really see one of them, it's hard to see the other one, so that you don't quite see the full picture. The ones I have an even harder time with are the ones that are just like those, they're like dots, and then you're supposed to stand a certain distance and look at it, and all of a sudden you're supposed to see what's behind it. Yeah. So some people are really good at that, and they can immediately see the picture, and I am terrible at it. I don't know if that has to do with the way the colors are or with depth perception or whatever. But anyway, even if somebody tells me, "Look right here and you can see this," I don't ever often see it. Every once in a while I can catch it, but then it's gone. So that kind of reminds me what this story is. It's kind of an unfolding understanding of what who God is in Jesus, and what it means for Jesus to be God incarnate, and what Jesus' ministry is all about, and how it takes time for people to understand. John the Baptist would stand at the banks of the Jordan River, it says in Scripture, and he would ask people to come and repent and share in this practice of forgiveness of sins. And over and over and over he did it. And over and over and over he talked about Jesus. And yet, again and again and again, it seems that nothing happens, because finally it takes two people who have hung around with John forever because they're followers of John. They finally go and see what Jesus is doing after John has shared who Jesus is. Some of it, I wonder, is if it because it wasn't always exactly clear to John the Baptist either. Because we know from Scripture that the very beginning of the story, John the Baptist jumps in his mother's room and he knows who Jesus is, even when they're not there. But then maybe as cousins, they don't see each other very often. And so he kind of knows Jesus as the carpenter's son, but maybe doesn't fully understand until that moment of baptism, when those stories he told really do come to fruition. And maybe John isn't quite as clear either, and so he has to keep telling the story over and over and over again. It's interesting to me that in John, when Jesus gathers these two disciples, they don't just drop everything like they do in the other accounts of Jesus calling these early disciples, right? Normally, the story goes that Jesus comes up to them and says, come and fish for people, and they drop everything, and they just leave their families behind, and they head on the way like they exactly knew what to do. I wonder if the way in which the story is portrayed in John happens because they start to think about, I wonder what it really felt like to be these early followers of Jesus. Did it take them some time to think and ponder and wonder what they were experiencing before they could then go and say, this one is the Messiah? I think that's part of the reason there's this marker in time in this story that happens in this really unusual way. Like, the story's going along and all of a sudden it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Is it because they had to spend the day with Jesus to really understand what was happening? Did they really have to come alongside Jesus and see not just where he was staying, but the stories he was telling and what he was talking about in order to say, we get it. We get who you are. Or is it like one of those moments in history where something happens, or one of those moments in your life where something happens and you remember the exact place where you were and the exact time of day and who else was there? Maybe what you were eating and what the room smelled like, all of those things that happen in a really defining moment. Is it maybe that because they remember, on this day, I recognized God, and I recognized who Jesus was? I think the story is for us a way to help understand that faith is kind of an ever-evolving thing. There are some times when we have to hear the same story over and over and over again before it really feels real to us. Or like the problem you had to do in school, or maybe you're helping a student in school and you do something over and over and over and over again, and then all of a sudden it makes sense, and you don't remember why you didn't understand in the first place. But I also think it's a good reminder to us that if John the Baptist had a hard time telling people who Jesus was, then maybe we can have a little grace for ourselves as well. If John the Baptist had to say over and over and over and over again, and John the Baptist didn't mind being weird, right? Because he was really weird. He didn't mind being different. He didn't mind shouting at people. He didn't mind saying the same thing over and over and over again, and still people didn't quite hear him. Maybe it's okay when we struggle too. The story of faith is a story that's meant to be told. The story of faith is a story that's meant to be told over and over and over and over again, because at different times in our lives, it means different things, and we hear different things from it, and we learn different things. Think of all of the people who taught you about faith over and over and over again. It took multiple people showing you and telling you about God's love for it to take on meaning. So it's our job as well to come and experience God's love, to live out God's love in our daily lives, but also to be willing to tell the story of how we've experienced God's love, to tell the story of when we experienced God's absence, so somebody might know that it's okay to have times where faith seems non-existent, so they can have someone else come alongside them as well. The person in the psalm writes about what God has done and says they will sing this song because they know God loves them. That's just another way to tell the story. We're also called to be like Jesus, to follow in the way of Jesus, which means also inviting people to come and see, because sometimes words aren't enough. Actually, often words aren't enough. Come and see a place and a people where you're welcomed for who you are, where you're loved for who you are, where someone will celebrate with you and someone will cry with you. Come and see. So I think it's a challenge for all of us, not just for my young friends, for all of us, to make sure that we're sharing the story and telling the story and inviting people to come and see. Amen.